This is Party Line. I'm not
dumb. Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
WILO, Frankfort, Indiana.
When you need to know, use WILO. For over 60 years, the WILO weather team has been bringing expertise, resources, and experience to be here when you need us. Thunderstorms, blizzards, delays, cancellations, hail, tornado events, heat advisories, and more. Like our extensive coverage of the damage caused by the 4.0 earthquake that struck Clinton County. When you need to know, use WILO, the station you can depend on.
When it comes to service, we take it personally. You see, we're small enough to remember your name, but we're also big enough to handle all your financial needs, no matter how they grow. Encompass Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, community-minded just like you. Looking forward, reaching
higher. Join Ken Hartman every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Tony Theofana, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Ken will take an in-depth look at area high school sports programs, both boys and girls action, while looking at college and professional sports, too. Inside the Huddle, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofana, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort, from the station keeping you connected for over 60 years, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. And our telecast online at HoosierlandTV.com is made possible by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, along with ProBike Computer Sales and Service. We're being joined in the studio by our guest, who's the Utility Service Board General Manager, Todd Corey. Todd, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in there. I'm half awake, half asleep. I usually do my better work that way.
Right.
How's everything at the USB?
It's good. Right now, everything's going pretty well. Very busy with different projects and future projects coming up, but it's days are short. We could just put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Of course, in one of those projects coming up is State Road 28.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, we got good news just around Christmas time that it's going to be a lot less of a project for us, well, financially anyway, where the state's stepping in and picking up a burden of the work. And it went from about a $6 million project for us down to $1.5 to $2 million. The number's bouncing around a little bit, but it's going to save us a ton of money.
For those who don't understand exactly why this is a huge thing, is because the infrastructure underneath the roads is so old and has got to get fixed.
Yes.
And then also, you know, and then what's already happened over on Washington Avenue is that when you have a situation where you have a pipe break after the road is down and they already have to cut into it, that is, and you're just trying to avoid that situation.
Yes, and the way that they're going to build this road, it's not a new process, but it would be new to us that we haven't dealt with before, and to put the road back the way that they're constructing it would be very expensive for us to do. So they went back and looked at it and decided to push the water lines and things that need to be moved or that are in conflict. They're going to move those back underneath sidewalks or in between the sidewalks in the road. So that'll be beneficial to us to where we don't have to cut up roads if we have a water main break. But as you were mentioning, the age, we're talking the infrastructure that's 100 years old that's just not going to sustain or will sustain the weight in the equipment that's going to be running on these things. So that's where they came back and said, okay, we're going to pick up a burden of this for you guys, and we're going to, instead of just having conflicts, completely move water lines.
You know, and the thing of it is everybody says, well, you know, the way things were 30, 40, 50 years ago was the good old boys' day. And in reality, no, it's not, because now we're having to pay for all that stuff from years past.
Right, exactly. And let's face it, too, there's just so much more traffic now. The road is deteriorating, which puts a stress on our pipes. It's not only water, it's sewer, it's stormwater drains. It's a little bit of everything that's going on here, but it just so happens that whenever a new road gets either built or reconstructed, like 28's going to be, but I mean, people can drive around town and find roads that have just been repaved where they run their big grinders over the top of them, and it just seems like the day or two after we get roads repaved here in the city, we're already in there cutting them up. Mm-hmm. For instance, Clay Street. Last year, as soon as it was done, it seemed like we was there three or four different times between water, sewer, wastewater, and storm. It was just one thing after another, just from this equipment that runs over the top of it.
The big thing, of course, is going to be they're going to get the bricks out from underneath the road. Has those bricks caused you guys problems with the infrastructure that's underneath?
No, not really. It's just something more that you have to dig through and dispose of when you do it. But for our crew, it's really not too bad. As long as we make a cut, then before a saw cut, before they start to dig, because if you start getting into those bricks and you don't have a good saw cut, then your hole just keeps getting bigger and bigger where you're tearing things up. But the bricks really have not been a big issue for us at this point in time.
It's just a big issue for the road.
Right. Right, that's exactly right.
Have you guys been accidentally found some things down there? Are you aware of some things you may find when they start digging up the road that may have to become an issue?
No, not really. I mean, we run into situations at different times, or you know, to find an exact spot where the water leak is sometimes tough. So what they will do is they'll drill holes in before they start digging and try and find out and relieve the pressure, because a leak might pop up in a road, and the actual leak on the pipe could be 10 feet away. And that's the biggest issue you run into there. But they find all kinds of things down underneath that road when they're digging. They find all kinds of different things.
Because we said, you know, the good old boy network from years past.
Yeah.
You know, it was lots of fun dealing with that. I know you guys are going through a lot of things with water, wastewater, and sewer maintenance right now. So talk about exactly kind of what you're doing with that, if you could.
Well, the wastewater plant's getting close to going out for bid for our expansion project that we have going on. Just got word this week that the bid should go out in the first part of February, the bid package, which means in March we will receive those back, open them up, and then we're ready to start construction this summer, probably around the June, July area for that one. And it's a $24.5 million project we have going on. Not only the expansion, but a new force sewer main coming from 200 is going to be put in, which is going to relieve a lot of pressure and quantity coming through the city to our main line that runs up Prairie Creek. We're just going to be diverting everything from the industrial park and things like that up and around town. So that's going to be a huge benefit for everybody. From a water standpoint, we just received complete design for what we're calling the Jefferson Loop, which will be put in, and we will not have to be wasting as much water as we do to keep the water quality up out in the Jefferson area. But it's also going to benefit the industrial park, because we'll have a big loop there, and then that tank's going to raise and lower at the same rate as our other tanks do. So that's a big project. We, like I said, we just went over the final design plans last Friday, so that one's getting ready to go out for bid as well. And then the other major project that we will have going on is a water expansion at our water plant on Armstrong Road, where we're looking to go from pumping 6 million gallons a day to 9 million gallons a day, and changing the way that we treat the water as well to something that's called an on-site generation. So with that, with those two, the other two are the two main products that we have, and then our third one is our electric. We're in the process right now of rebuilding a substation. The Burlington sub, it's been completely shut down and taken offline, and all the equipment's coming out, new equipment's going in. That process started last week, so we're moving along on that one too. And then once again, with State Road 28, our electric, there's a big process that has to go through with our electric to move some power poles, move power lines. So we're going to be out there working on that project as well.
You know, that substation caused you a little bit of an issue Friday morning.
Yeah, it was a switching issue that we had, and we found out when we had some work done at the fairground substation, there was some parameters set wrong on some CT transformers, and we had to get the engineering crew and stuff in here. They came in, got that all worked out, and then we switched it again Tuesday morning, and there was not any, no hesitation, no blips, no power outages. But that one Friday was caught everybody off guard, and yeah, we fixed it pretty quick.
We're going like, okay, the weather's not here yet, so really what's going on?
Yeah. Fortunately, it was very short-lived, but it took out the whole city other than the industrial park. And it was something unfortunate. It was not foreseen that anything like that would happen. But our crews got on it real quick. Started making phone calls, got the engineering crew that we deal with. They came down Tuesday to make sure everything was correct before we did switching again. And then, like I said, there was nobody that even noticed the fact that we switched out and shut the Burlington sub down.
You know, and you're meeting Tuesday night. You guys start talking about MS4, and I'm not quite sure I understand what MS4 is. Explain that to me, if you would, a little bit.
MS4 has to deal a lot with stormwater. And where we dump our storm water, and if you get contamination running into the creek and things like that. But that's basically what MS4 is. It just has to do with stormwater runoff.
And how you're going to handle that?
And how you handle that. Okay. And like I said, what's going in there? What are you supposed to keep out of there? It also has to do with where, you know, like the city dump, they're in charge. MS4 is there. They come out and inspect our dump to make sure that we don't have anything running off and or dumping the wrong things into the city dump, which is really the only thing that goes to the city dump are trees and dirt. But they also come in and for MS4, they will check each department, make sure that there's not oil going in the wrong places, you know, from working on trucks or trucks that are leaking oil, different things like that.
Okay. And also, you guys, the other night, that day, at least at the start, you're going to be starting an agreement with Norfolk Southern on some railroad track work that you're going to be doing.
Right. That is going to be on phase two of Washington Avenue, where we need that water line, or the water main underneath that track is, once again, is another line that's 100 years old, and it's double-jacketed concrete. And since that road's going to be torn up, we're going to be boring and putting a brand-new line underneath the railroad tracks. So that's all done. We're just waiting on a certificate of insurance to send that back to Norfolk and Southern. And then we're good to go when they start working on that this spring.
You know, we can say all the things we want to say, but you can say this, is that when they made all that stuff way back when, they did make it pretty good.
Yes, they did, but
now
it's a problem. Double-jacketed concrete is a problem on our water mains. But, yes, things were built very well back then, and they served their purpose up until this point, and now it's just time to start replacing these type of things.
Glad it's somebody else besides you and I. We're going to take a break right now. Our sponsors are Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with Clinton County Daily News.com. We'll be right back.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College, like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Join Ken Hartman every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Tony Theofana, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Ken will take an in-depth look at area high school sports programs, both boys and girls action, while looking at college and professional sports, too. Inside the Huddle, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofana, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort, from the station keeping you connected for over 60 years, WILO. When you need to know, use WILO. For over 60 years, the WILO weather team has been bringing expertise, resources, and experience to be here when you need us. Thunderstorms, blizzards, delays, cancellations, hail, tornado events, heat advisories, and more. Like our extensive coverage of the damage caused by the 4.0 earthquake that struck Clinton County. When you need to know, use WILO, the station you can depend on. WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and our telecast online at HoosierLandTV.com, made possible by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, along with ProBike Computer Sales and Service. And our in-studio guest is USB General Manager Todd Corey. Todd, you guys have been doing a lot of working, switching out some of your current, your older poles and trying to get some new ones in. Talk a little bit about where you're at and where you're going with that.
Right now, we're not, we've got several of them done. 200, I believe, is the number, somewhere around 200, 225. But it's not coming along as fast as what we need it to. Our guys are so busy doing all this other construction for everything that's going on around town, like the hospital, the park, just day-to-day operations, and we just cannot get to the point to where we can keep up with the number of poles that we're supposed to be doing. So we're in the process of talking to some construction companies that can come in and take over and start changing out these poles for us, because some of them are 30, 40 years old, and we're finding out when we do have big windstorms like we had back in November that these things are just snapping, and we need to get to the point to where we have good infrastructure out there. So we have a meeting tomorrow, actually, with a construction company, and trying to set it up with two more so that we can get good prices, good competitive prices, because it is expensive. Because just with the equipment and three or four guys out there doing it, it's more. We had one quote come in. It was a little bit of a shock to us, you know, what it cost, because we know what it cost us to do it, and quite a bit higher. But we're working on that, and it's going to be – it's going to be a tough decision to make on whether, how, if we do what we had planned, the number of pulls we had planned, or we just do what we can out of this bond issuance that we have, and we still get a large number of pulls replaced, but it probably will not be the quantity that we was originally looking at, just because our crew is small, and just so much with everything going on in around town, it's tough for us to get there and do those projects.
Do you about how many years is the average life for a pole? I mean, it probably says a pole just stands there and doesn't do a whole lot, but what they do wear down eventually.
Yeah, they do. And like I said, we're looking at changing the poles out right now that are 30 to 40 years old, and there'll be some out there that are older than that still look good, that you can go up and they have a little way of testing them. May even be just beating on a hammer and see if it still sounds solid. But, you know, if right conditions and everything else, you're probably looking at 30 to 50 years on the lifespan of a pole.
Okay. You know, and I think the other thing that, you know, and you brought it up here a little bit a while ago, is that people don't understand all the other things that are going on in this community that you guys have got to play a major part in. I'm thinking like last couple of years was the airport, and you're doing all those other things that you just talked about here a few minutes ago.
Yes, they just keep coming. You know, like right now, there's going to be a lot of work that has to be done at the, if they continue out there at Southridge on the subdivision that's going to going to go in. There's another facility that's, they're looking at, I believe they call it Frankfurt Cottages, is out there by St. Vincent's and Witham.
Yeah.
That's work that's going to take a lot of our time to do. State Road 28 is going to be a major project for us. The hospital's a major project for us. And all these, and that's just the electric. That doesn't count the other departments that have to get involved as well. So that's where we just don't have the time to get out there to change the poles like we were talking about a little while ago. Our community's growing so fast at this point in time, it seems like, that every day it's just something new's coming up, and it requires time and effort to get there.
But it's something, I take it, though, that you guys have got such a very experienced, very knowledgeable crew. It's just time consuming more than probably anything else. It's not something new that they're seeing, I don't think.
Oh no, nothing. It's just everyday work for these guys, and with the knowledge of with the experience that our crew does have, they know how to do their job, and they get out there and they do it. They do it as efficiently as possible. But it's just like it's just a quantity of work that is coming in at this point in time.
Yeah. When you guys look back at last year, what were you most proud of?
Boy, that's a tough one, Ken. There's so many accomplishments that were done. I would say probably one of the biggest accomplishments is the fact that we had a safe year, you know, with no major accidents, things like that. That's a reflection of the crews and the experience that they have to be safe. You know, we're coming along with the wastewater plans, the water plans. That's a tough question to see, because I'm just proud of all of it that's been happening.
You know, and as I said, you know, people, as I said, and I've said, and I'm suddenly becoming repeating myself, but people simply don't understand everything that everybody has to do to make this city go.
Exactly. And I'll be honest with you, before I got on the council and before I took this position, I wasn't aware of everything that goes on to make it go. And I've said it many times on this program that from a utility standpoint, everything's done behind the scenes. And you take it, for instance, when the power went out last Friday when we were doing our switching, it's just something that you take for granted. You're going to flip that light switch and your lights are going to come on. And then when they go off, the number of people, especially with cell phones nowadays, boy, the phone just rang off the wall just for that short period of time of what was going on. And it's not the most glamorous work, to be honest with you, but it's something that everybody just, you know, you flush your toilet and it's going to go away.
Right.
But there's a lot of work that goes on to make all these things happen.
Basically, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and the thing was, at least I didn't call you guys. I just texted you. That was like, what's going on?
That was one of many that I received.
I figured it was probably one of many.
Yeah, because everybody's there. There's no such thing of being unreachable at this point of everybody's life. Everybody's reachable somehow because everybody carries their cell phones with them. And, yeah, and like I said, I think the whole outage maybe lasted 3 or 4 minutes. And it was amazing on how many phone calls and how many text messages you can receive that quick.
But what that tells you is that tells you how reliant we are on the everyday things like computers and like the internet and everything. That just tells you how reliant we are on that stuff.
Yes. And it's if things go out for just a brief minute, everybody goes into a mad panic on things.
Because, well, what do I do now?
Yeah, and trust me, I was going through town, and I noticed that the stoplights was out. So I was one of those people calling in there to find out what happened, and the phone at the light plant was ringing so fast, they missed a call from me, and they called me back, and because I was trying cell phones, I was doing everything that everybody was doing to me, too, trying to find out what was going on.
Well, they know you're a VIP and you're privileged, so that's why they call you back. What are some of the bigger things you're looking forward to? I don't know if you're looking forward to it, but things we've got to do coming up this year.
Once again, it's I think our biggest thing is the wastewater going from 4.6 million to 9 million gallons. That is going to be a huge, huge project because there's going to be a lot of dirt that needs to be moved, a lot of concrete that needs to be poured. And we've been looking forward to this for the last 3 years. And then also with the water expansion going on, it's going to be a busy year, but a very, very productive year at this point.
And then also you're still out there. You're getting your new automated readers then out of, you know, I'm drawing a blank on the word.
Our remote read meters?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we're scheduled to do a couple more routes or we call them books, just from the old days, back when your good old boy days, when they just wrote everything down by hand, they call them books. We're scheduled to do a couple more of those this year, which just makes everything so much easier, more efficient, more accurate, because some of these water meters that are out there now that are getting 10, 12 years old, they've reached their lifespan. So we're trying to pick and choose which routes were probably done as the city expanded before and when they were done or replaced. So the remote read meters are a huge benefit to us. It's just a slow process to do it because they're so expensive. On the water side, they're very expensive. And they're time consuming to change out to get down on the ground, and you have certain times of the year that when you can really get out and do them. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do them on days like today because once you're going to get wet doing them,
right?
And then you're just going to end up getting cold, getting sick. So we have to pick and choose our times when we're doing them. But remote read meters are going to be one of these days. We'll have from the electric and water. We'll have them all done. It may take us 4 or 5 years, but we'll get there. And things will be accurate and, like I said, much more efficient.
You know, the other thing about this, though, is that you don't have to go out there and slog around in a foot of snow, and you don't have to go around and try and uncover everything. They're out there for you, and it makes it a whole lot easier from that perspective, too.
Exactly. And, you know, our meter readers, like right now, coming in the mornings, they have to wait until it gets daylight before they can actually get out and start reading meters because they're down in pits. This way they actually just have to do a drive-by and pick up their information, they're done, and then we find other things to do and move forward.
I hate to bring this up, but we almost have to because we kind of talked about it. With all this improvement comes increases in, like, water rates and those kinds of things. And let's just be honest, water rate we're going to have no matter what happens.
Yes, we have to. We haven't had one for about 10 years. So, you know, the electric was the same way. They went about 17 years without a rate increase. But water is going to have one. And we're still, even with what we're looking at, we'll still be one of the cheapest cities in the state of Indiana on our water rates. But it's just it's a necessary evil at this point in time.
What's the mindset behind not raising and then also then having this huge, or basically big increase all at one time?
That's a tough question. Just it might be an out of sight, out of mind type thing, like you mentioned earlier, Ken, that, you know, keep it a status quo. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things you cannot do in this day and age is just keep it a status quo. You got to be moving on because equipment gets more expensive, materials get more expensive. For instance, one of the items that we use in we're a ductile iron city on our water. And ductile iron right now is 40% higher than what it was at this time last year. And that's why we're in the process of looking at some of these bigger projects that we're doing. For instance, the Jefferson Loop that I mentioned, that would probably be a PVC pipe mm-hmm. instead of ductile iron, because people are just moving away from it because of the expense involved in it. And PVC, it's called C900. It's a good product to use in long runs. And so we're looking at doing different things that we can to save money, but still have, the proper material that we need in place. But I, you know, that all being said, and back to the original question, the rates really need to be adjusted every couple of years to keep them minimal, and they're not, it's not a big shock when we have to come back and do this and just plan out that way with smaller increases over a smaller period of time.
Yeah, what people need to understand is that when things go up, and your guys, and I don't care what business you're in, same goes for schools, goes for the city, whatever, everything's going sky high, and nothing else is going with it. That's the problem.
Right. And fortunately, we're not looking at the water going sky high. It will be there will be an adjustment, but we don't have the final numbers of where we're at yet, but it's not going to be anything that's real alarming. And it's still going to be very expensive. When you can get a gallon of water for 0.3 cents, that's pretty cheap material at this point in time, especially for the material that we have to purchase on that.
Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I'm good. I think I appreciate you having us in.
No, I always enjoy loving you guys, having you guys come in. It's always a lot of fun.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Take care, Todd. We're going to wrap it up for the show today. Our sponsor is Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Miller Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our telecast online at HoosierlandTV.com, made possible by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, and Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, along with ProBike Computer Sales and Service. Everybody, have a great day. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.